I welcome and support the motion, and I'm glad of and grateful for support expressed for our amendment. It's imperative that the executive does all it can to create jobs, to create opportunities, to create not just employment to help people keep themselves and their families, but employment and opportunities to help keep people here. The motion lists a number of sectors ideal for growth, and while that list isn't exhaustive, it is correct to identify jobs of the future in dynamic and tech industries. Pathfinders here have already made huge progress, and there's every reason to support the innovators of today to create the industries of tomorrow. Our universities need to be supported not only to grow but to evolve, providing cutting-edge courses and producing more creators of ideas, employment and wealth to be retained locally. And when I say locally, I mean locally. The concentration of about 90% of our university places in Belfast is detrimental not just to regional balance and the economic and social well-being of my constituency and my constituents in Derry and so many other areas across the north. It's also holding Northern Ireland back. Nobody here will be surprised, therefore, that our amendment calls for the economy not just to be grown, but to be regionally rebalanced. Everywhere and everyone should enjoy any new opportunities, especially in areas that have been deprived of so much for so long. In today's debate, now, Mr. Middleton spoke of the need also to address inequalities and of the need for ambitious targets. And it made me wonder and regret that previous DUP economy ministers were so reluctant to address targets on a sub-regional level. My party colleague and proposer of our amendment pointed to effective economic policies adopted in other jurisdictions with fairness at their core. Philip McGuigan emphasised the importance of the green economy, not just in terms of saving our environment, but in terms of the economic opportunity it can and undoubtedly will create. Ms Eastwood felt lucky to hail from a more affluent area, but demonstrated a great empathy and understanding for those languishing in economic inactivity, unable to access work even when willing. Political stability is a point she touched on, and rightly so. You wouldn't build a house on shaky foundations, so companies are going to be an awful lot less willing to invest where there is political instability and uncertainty. We've seen and heard a lot of positivity on that front in recent times, but we've seen that before, and potential investors have seen it and heard it before as well. Messrs Elliott and Porrig de Largy both heralded the role of our regional colleges in further education sector and upskilling our workforce to match the needs and demands of the market. And I agree with my constituency colleague, Mr. De Largy, on the need for positivity. But there's also, and always will be, a need for honesty. Derry has been failed, and we want to fix that. And I welcome any prospective investors watching this to come and play their part in an exciting new chapter for our constituency and for the North. Mr. Honeyford was also guilty of a wee bit of realism, and he also touched on the value of the FE sector and the need for fair pay for those working in it. The Minister, like others, wondered exactly where the 5,000 jobs figure came from. I think it came from a manifesto pledge of the DUPs, and the pattern we're seeing over the past couple of months from the big two parties seems to be picking motions based on manifesto pledges that their own ministers aren't responsible for. The figure itself, I don't know, is the case of we would build 5,000 jobs and we would make 5,000 more. I don't know, but I do question, given it was a manifesto pledge, was that based on a 5-year term, and therefore is it now even more ambitious that we've only got 3 years left? So maybe when he's winding, Mr. Buckley, who's no stranger to ambition, might touch on that when he's winding up. He's no stranger to winding up either.